Podcast. And in this edition of the Security Podcast, I had a chance to sit down with Mike Ferris, who is Director of Solution Strategy at Red Hat. We had a great discussion about open source security, both from the standpoint of open source software used for security purposes, and the question of how secure open source software really is. This is a timely discussion and one that is very important for us here in the industry, and especially for those of us who are looking at technology. Mike had a lot of good things to say, and I think that the discussion that we had echoes some of the concerns and questions that I'm hearing from a lot of folks among the readers and listeners at It Network Computing. I'll be back at the end to talk about a little more of what we said and tell you what's coming up in future podcasts. But now, here's my conversation with Mike Ferris of Red Hat. Michael, you, in your position at Red Hat, are in sort of a unique position to watch how open source solutions are developing in the security space. And it seems to me that security is one area where open source has been a true winner. Am I seeing it from the wrong perspective?
No, I certainly think you're seeing it from the right perspective. If you look at the plethora of projects that are out there that are related to security components, if you look at a lot of the press that gets developed on the exploits, open source in general is not only benefiting from the fact that there are many projects addressing specific security concerns in the area, but also by watching a lot of the exploits and vulnerabilities that other platforms are out there. We have obviously a significant number of open source developers who are able to take those exploits, take that vulnerability and watch what's happening and develop innovative technologies in the community to respond to them in the event that they were to come out in Linux or in open source development.
Well, it's interesting because it does seem that security is one space where you don't hear a lot of the questions about the integration of open source into more traditional commercial solutions the way you do in, say, office productivity discussions.
Well, certainly when we start seeing the questions about security emerge, and the open source community is quite aware that as any proprietary company is out there developing software, the open source community also needs to be just as diligent, just as aggressive in addressing them. But if you look at the adoption of really where open source has started, it certainly started with Linux on the server side, with significant adoption in data centers, significant adoption in edge computing environments, and really being being born in the age of the internet, where security is a concern, and even as part of the development process, security is a concern. And so when you have the, as Evans Data points out, 1.1 million developers in North America alone who are developing projects, they're doing so in the community, out in the internet, on the internet, where not only is the product of that development available for attack and exploit potentially, but it's also being developed in that area where the scrutiny of the development cycle itself is open to being watched and being vulnerable. So ultimately, when we talk about how, the technology evolves and things go into it to make it more secure, we start seeing the fact that, it's born in the age of the internet, it's by the internet, in many cases it's for the internet, and so a lot of the capabilities and a lot of the focus in that community is being developed to make sure that we have a secure mechanism for developing, we have a secure mechanism for creating code in a way that can be responsive if there are vulnerabilities that are found. And so certainly on the server side, you'll see, technologies such as Nmap, you'll see firewalls go in. They already have been there. They've been in on by default in most of the distributions of Linux since 2000. but certainly, you know, creating more innovative ways to respond to potential vulnerabilities, and I can certainly take you through that with respect to SC Linux and other things that are going into the platform itself, really make it part of that environment. Now, your comment on what's happening on the desktop side, and certainly office productivity and those types of applications, we certainly are seeing an increasing use in desktop, in front office type applications. And with that, well, one of the advantages of being born in the internet and being responsible for security of the internet in many cases, a lot of those same projects, a lot of that same technology has direct implications and can be applied to front-end, front-office type applications of open source. And so a lot of the projects that you'll see related to security, in addition to the development methodology that's out there, certainly translate to what happens in the front office and can be used to better secure those environments.
Well, let me explore this front office thing for a moment, because while you point out, and many open source advocates and open source proponents say that the open source products, in particular Linux as an operating system, are inherently more secure. There are others who say that rather than being inherently more secure, it's just that Linux, because of its market share, has been a much smaller target than, say, the Windows platform, and therefore has been a less rich field for the developers of malware to explore. Do you think there are elements of both of these?
So certainly if we look at the number of potential or the number of attacks that are out there, obviously, especially in the desktop world, given the penetration of Microsoft Windows on the desktop, a lot of them are going to be targeted at weaknesses in that defense system. However, if you look at some of the recent trends, over the past several weeks here, we've seen announcements come out about how attacks are no longer directed specifically at the operating system. They're directed at applications, and in many cases, they're directed at antivirus or other capabilities that are there to attempt to defend a perhaps inherently insecure environment. Well, you know, when we talk about Linux and we talk about open source in general, again, it is a development environment. It's a process that takes a very collaborative approach, inclusion of, again, at least 1.1 million developers in North America, much less the rest of the world, that builds a platform that watches continually and is driven not by financial reasons. So the open source community doesn't have a deadline they have to meet to report quarterly. They don't have to make sure they have a good profit and loss statement. What the open source community is most interested in doing is building correct solutions and correct answers to security issues, to productivity issues, to utilization issues, and then continuing that progression. So when we talk about security in the context of the front office and the number of attacks that may be attributed to it, you know, you'll see different types of responses come out of the community. One very good example of this is with respect to something called Security Enhanced Linux. And this is a open source project that was started by the United States National Security Administration that was then adopted by the community in the operating system kernel, or the core portion of it itself, that does a lot to eliminate the efficacy of violations. So even if an exploit were to occur on a front office desktop computer where a user might be doing word processing or spreadsheet work, That exploit that tries to get in and take advantage of that machine to do something inappropriate can be limited based upon policies that get created within Security Enhanced Linux. So the net result of this is when you look at the adoption, if you look at the responsiveness that comes out of the community for violations or for exploits, it is certainly, you know, watching it not from a financial perspective, but correctness. And then that in turn starts to create different types of solutions to the problem.
Okay, now, You've mentioned the community, the open source community here, and it's as it develops solutions. In the past 6 to 8 weeks, we've seen a couple of major changes to products that have been developed by the community. In particular, I'm talking about Snort and Nessus. And I'm wondering, do the way that those products and their models are changing, does that have any broader implication for the open source security community.
Well, one of the beauties behind open source development is it does self-propagate. And so certainly when you start off with a platform that is in the open source community, that gets a set of developers, as Snort and Nessus and other security technologies have certainly done, then that in turn, regardless of what happens to the corporations or the environments that surround them, really continues to evolve in and of itself. And so certainly working for an open source focused company, you know, our intent is to build community around the technologies that we adopt for our customers. And by having that community developed, by having it self-created, self-managed, and grow, then we actually end up creating not just products for customers. What ends up happening is we end up creating a technical solution that can be used by any vendor, by any solution. And indeed, in many cases, you'll have users of the technologies that don't want a relationship with a vendor. So we end up with a platform or a set of technologies that will continue to grow, continue to evolve. And certainly that's the technical answer to the problem. The business answers, the surrounding licensing constructs that a vendor may take and use on top of that, you know, are certainly going to be dependent upon what the community initially decides and evolves to. But ultimately, they're two distinct things that work very much together to make sure that they're answering customer problems, but they're also answering the technical issues, and that's the job of the community.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned the two sides of the equation. Because, especially in the case of Nessus, one of the justifications that the owners gave in stepping away from an open source model for future development is that they felt that it was too much a one-way street, that they weren't getting enough back from the community of users and add-on developers. Do you think that there are companies that are adopting open source products that perhaps haven't fully factored that sort of interaction into the ownership cost of the products?
Well, if you're speaking about vendors, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that we at Red Hat have done is make sure that everything that we do is directed back toward the community. And not only are we focused on putting technology into that customers or partners may be requesting, but that also we're sponsoring events, we're sponsoring environments that will help contribute and build to that community effort. And one of the things that we have done along the way is really look at how to develop the model. And certainly one of the core differentiators that we helped to do to build this is with the 50,000 plus open source projects, a lot of which have a security context associated with them, that those are out in the community, and certainly we have employees and developers that we will end up, you know, obviously hiring and employing, and part of their job, a significant part in many cases, is to contribute back and be part of that open source community. Now, you know, that's a large mass of projects, many maintainers involved in that, but then in order to make sure that continues to scale, you have environments that need to be built that people can rely on, not from a production standpoint, but from a community standpoint, to make sure that they have a place to go to get a release, to get a stable build. And that's why, you know, we have sponsored the Fedora Community Project. And so by building a set of responsible individuals within the company and the community to focus on building a stable platform that can be used for further development, but that everyone can point to and say, this is a conglomeration of some subset of the projects that are out there. It has a name, it has a general release cycle, it may not have quality assurance, it may not have a lot of the things that I would want to deploy in a production environment, but it's something that I as a community member, not employed by one of the vendors, can look to and start to say, okay, if I take this into my environment, start to test with it, start to work with it, I have a platform that I can then start to say, well, this needs to be changed. And it's from that we start to see a maturation, not just of the Fedora community itself, but the larger open source individual projects surrounding that. And so certainly as we progress, as Red Hat continues to grow in this area, you know, we're committed to not only building individual projects in security and other areas, but also focusing on building communities around Fedora that are purely open source, that focus on development, not production deployments, but then continue to evolve that community and grow it out.
Okay. Well, as you're talking about growing out, I have a pair of related questions I want to ask. The first is looking into 2006, are there any broad trends in open source software and in particular the security area? Any broad trends that have you either worried or excited?
So we're certainly excited about the coming age of virtualization. And I bring that up not specifically as a security topic, but as a focus to say, as we start to see environments mature, where getting access to any resource at any time is really the domain of getting better system utilization and better resource utilization, security has to be a context of that. And so certainly as you start to see, multiple projects in the community emerge, and I keep referring to Security Enhanced Linux, but there are other ones such as ExecShield, which eliminates, well, actually reduces the chance that a memory buffer overflow exploit is going to be is going to have any ill effect. But these other projects that are out in the community certainly have existed standalone. They've been included in platforms like Fedora and other projects. But what really starts to happen now with the oncoming virtualization trend is that you need to start applying these to a broader context, so that as you have multiple machines, multiple desktops, multiple devices, multiple networks all connected together communicating, you really do need to build up the context of security in a networked world. And that takes the application of anything from identity management, authentication, all the way through, obviously, system-level security, and applying that to virtualized environments so that when a user logs in, perhaps from their PDA, they have the ability and leverage the scale and leverage the technologies that have been deployed on individual system levels at this macro virtualization level.
Okay. Well, with that as the context on the broad trend, my next question is, again, as you look forward into 2006, are there any specific products or projects that have you either excited or very worried?
So certainly, if you look at some of the trends that I was mentioning earlier, where attacks are starting to come not just at an operating system level, but more importantly, looking for holes at higher level of applications. So certainly, if you look at Web 2.0, or obviously Google is an excellent example of that type of application using technologies commonly referred to as AJAX, or asynchronous Java and XML. But the focus behind these higher level applications is to provide information when a customer needs it or when a user needs it, and do so in a very open way. Well, obviously the attacks that are happening now are being refocused more at the higher level applications. They're being refocused at weaknesses in those infrastructures that are getting built. And so what this does is this puts a very strong requirement not just on system level security, because obviously that's always going to have to be there, but more importantly, in development level security. And so making sure that when an application is being designed, when an application is being rolled out, and the underlying technologies that it uses, whether it's the languages or whether it's other components, that all those are brought together in a secure way. So things such as cross-site scripting and other types of attacks are occurring much more frequently now, and we're seeing an increase in the use of those. But certainly having that higher level focus and having that visibility toward how do you build security into the development of applications, not just the operating system, is something that we certainly see a growing trend and interest in the open source community, primarily focused originally around development tools and development technologies. But we also think that open source development model itself is going to have some direct applicability to that.
Interesting. Well, I guess my final question is, 2006 throughout the year is shaping up as a fairly exciting year from a lot of perspectives. We have a major new OS build coming out, scheduled for the end of the year, from Microsoft. The market numbers say that there is considerable movement from both open source platforms and from Apple. The Macintosh platform seems to be reversing a long-term trend towards smaller market. Does the fact that the OS or the platform market seems to be changing, does just that fact have security implications?
So certainly, and I'll go back to the virtualization trend. But if you look at a lot of the messaging, people are ultimately trying to find a way to better utilize the resource at lower cost. And anything that drives that, whether it's reduction in security investment by having better security built into a platform from the start, or whether it's finding better ways of utilizing the resources they have by inclusion of that security, we certainly think that's driving a lot of the changes that are out there. If I look at, you know, competing environments, whether it's Microsoft or potentially Apple or other Unices that are in the market today, you know, the thing that has really driven the open source community is to do things as rapidly as possible, as securely as possible, with a focus on the gradual progression toward a better environment. It's again not driven by point releases. It's not driven by a set day or time that you have to get a product out the door. It's much more about finding the right solutions, pulling those in so that when security issues appear or when other types of attacks or other types of environments have issues, they have alternative solutions, alternative investment, and ultimately give customers and users choice between deciding whether or not they want to stick with and are going to be reliant upon a set release schedule, or if they're able to go out, fix the problem themselves, work with themselves, or get a larger community involved that can help them fix those.
Okay. Well, first, I want to thank you for spending the time with us today. This has been a great conversation we've had. And then I want to end with a final question. If you and I schedule a call for next December, do you think we're going to be talking about 2006 as a year when we made some real progress towards having our applications and platforms be more secure? Or do you think we're going to be focused on talking about how smart the vulnerability finders and malware authors have gotten and how much more dangerous the world is?
I certainly believe that this time next year and then following years from that, we're going to, one, be able to protect the environments that have matured as inherently insecure today better. But secondly, we're going to be talking about where we're seeing different types of adoption and different types of migration. Things such as social engineering have certainly always been a trend, but you're seeing smarter social engineering today with obviously spam emails coming out and virus emails coming out with much more adept titles and content within them. And that's a trend away from traditional attack the OS, attack the platform, and much more toward, let's see if we can find a different way of getting financial gain or getting economic information out of people. And so while I think this will always continue, what will ultimately happen is you'll see alternative types of technologies, alternative types of solutions address the existing problems much better and force the attackers into other areas.
Fix that and try to go to a twice weekly podcast, see how that works. So later this week, watch for a podcast with an interview with folks from WatchGuard. Very much non-open source, but very much an important player in the total security market. I think you'll enjoy it. I certainly enjoyed working with them. And until then, please let me know if you have suggestions or feedback on these podcasts, and we will look forward to being with you next time on the Network Computing Security Podcast. Until then, this is Kurt Franklin saying so long.